This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the opening half hour for the week brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Whatever your insurance needs happen to be, they will make sure that you're fully insured, and they'll do everything they can to save you money. Customer service means everything to them. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Great to start the week on a terrific note with Audrey Snyder from The Athletic. Audrey, welcome back. It's always great to hear you on the other end.
Great to be here, Steve. Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday to you. And a big weekend that included the U.S. Olympic wrestling trials at the Bryce Jordan Center. You had an opportunity to cover it. What was the experience like?
It was great. I mean, I think, Steve, like, you know, we talk so many times about how do you make Beaver Stadium, how do you make State College a destination for more than, you know, a handful of weekends per year for the fall? And this was definitely one of those events. You know, I mean, the town was busy starting Thursday. You know, hotels were pricey. People were going downtown. So I think, you know, from the local economy aspect, it was great. And then I think from the spectator aspect, the sporting aspect, it was tremendous. I mean, the high stakes moments with Olympic sports, like, that's what draws me back time and time again. I had a chance to cover the Olympics in 2012, and it, I mean, there's just nothing like it. I mean, it's all of the pure, raw emotion that comes out after a match, especially, like, that was on display all weekend. And obviously with between Penn State and the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, I mean, this was a Penn State showcase during a massive national event.
And certainly Penn State showed out well in it. What was the reaction of the crowd when Aaron Brooks beat David Taylor?
You know, Steve, it was really interesting because I kept looking around the mat to see, like, where's Cale Sanderson? What does he do? Because, like, man, you talk about a tough emotional spot for him. Like, these are both your guys. And I didn't see Cale around the mat. And I was asking around trying to figure out, like, how did he watch this? Where did he watch it? And the crowd reaction to me was interesting because I would not say that they were stunned, because obviously everybody here knows that Aaron Brooks is incredible, but there was still that moment of, I would kind of describe it just as sadness of, you know, here's David Taylor at 33, and you have to start to wonder, is this maybe his last opportunity, his last crack at it? He was gutted. I mean, and the two shared that moment on the mat afterward, and I asked Aaron Brooks about that, you know, after the match, and he said that he just wanted to tell him that he loves him and that he, you know, he respects him and they train together. But yeah, it was a weird crowd moment because, you know, as many people were excited about, like, okay, yeah, it's Aaron, it's also like, man, David Taylor's your guy too. And I think even watching, like, I was watching Carter Storace watch the match, and you could even tell for him, it's like, yeah, Aaron's his guy, but these guys all respect David Taylor like crazy. And, like, there wasn't this crazy outpouring of support for either guy because I think everybody was just so torn on it.
Cale's had great wrestlers, but I almost feel like the first real Penn State star, I know he won twice, he didn't win four, was David Taylor. You know, the magic man, the whole thing. And to see this happen, and what's interesting is that you talk about David's age. For the most part, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, for the most part, Olympic wrestling is a little older man's sport. And that's what made this even more interesting, to see the younger guy beat, quote, one of the older hands.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the turnaround from the collegiate season to this is pretty crazy, right? I mean, you're talking 3.5 weeks from NCAAs to this. So physically, one of the things that I was kind of looking for going into the weekend was, okay, like, how does Aaron Brooks look just because of the quick turnaround, you know? And to me, it was David Taylor that looked more gassed as opposed to the young guy. And that, yeah, I thought was kind of interesting. And then I did think, too, for a fleeting moment, it's like, okay, wow, this is actually going to happen. Aaron Brooks is going to win. And in my head, I'm thinking, man, like, is this going to be it for David Taylor? Like, for a second there, I was like, could he call it quits here and leave his shoes on the mat, you know? And that did not happen, but it certainly, the thought crossed my mind. And I think David's impact here, too, is going to, you know, kind of, he didn't want to talk on Thursday about what his future looks like and whether that's MMA, whether that's maybe some level of coaching. I mean, he's got a lot going on at his M2 training center, and he's heavily involved with a lot of guys there, including future Penn State wrestlers. But yeah, it was interesting to see that it was a young man's weight class, because that's kind of not what I expected it to be. But then you got the opposite of that with Kyle Dake and Jason Knowles too. So it was a wild weekend, Steve.
Okay, but then there's Jason Knowles, right? Uh-huh. And then there's that situation. Take us through that, because the crowd reaction to that was also interesting and also brought with it some criticism from outside people.
You know, and I think the thing with that, right, is like Jason Knowles, Penn State guy through and through, Kyle Dake, Cornell guy through and through, but because he's with the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, you get some of that, yeah, where people are saying, hey, he's kind of like our guy, you know?
Yeah, right.
Now, I think the thing with Kyle was just, you know, how he even got on the mat, you know, after his father had passed away about a week and a half ago. The emotions of that, I mean, that came pouring out afterward in the mix zone when he met with reporters. And he, you know, said, like, this is the first time he's ever had to wrestle without his dad, and just kind of the right challenges of the emotions that come with that. But I will tell you, Steve, I mean, Jason Knowles, when he walked off the mat, it was one of the most emotional moments of the weekend. I mean, he was in tears, sobbing. Like, I thought for a second it was almost like Bo Nickel almost had to, like, carry him out.
Right.
Just because it's, like, everything you put into this cycle, which in this case is only a 3-year cycle because of the Olympics being in 2021. But just the grind of that, I think everybody, you know, people respect that. They understand that. But, yeah, that was just one of those really, really heavy emotional moments. But, yeah, and then, you know, you have Kyle Dake, who's, you know, also in right tears because of everything that he's had to go through in his family. So,
right,
man, Steve, there's nothing like this event, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and then there's Jordan Burroughs. The Jordan mm-hmm. Burroughs situation, where that brought with it interesting emotions and not the best of them.
Yeah, right. So to me, it's like, you know, obviously Penn State fans are very clued into Jordan Burroughs after his comments at NCAAs and with Carter Starace and how he would attack the knee and basically him verbalizing what everyone else was thinking, right? And yeah, so Burroughs was getting booed pretty heavily all weekend. I will say I don't think the crowd response was the best, particularly there was one fan after Burroughs lost Friday night, one fan right by the railing where all the athletes yep. have to walk through to exit, just
yep.
screaming at him, telling him that he's old, he's washed up, all that kind of stuff, and Burroughs is chirping back at him. Now, I mean, this very well could have, probably was, Jordan Burroughs' last match.
Sure.
And for what he's meant to the sport, like, I hated to see that. I mean, I was in London in 2012 when he won gold, and, you know, it was kind of the huge storyline then. But, yeah, the crowd was really, really on him. Now, Burroughs and his coaches did not do anything to help the situation either. I mean, they were right. chirping back. So, yeah, that was just like this wild sideshow to the whole thing.
It was a wild sideshow to it. But I'll say this about Jordan Burroughs. He has represented this country with distinction internationally, mm-hmm. and he's won internationally. I think he deserves a little more respect than that.
Yeah, to me that was a very not great moment. And then you have the other level too of Bo Nichols been really critical of Jordan Burroughs, and of course Nichols is in Jason Nolf's corner during the match. But afterward, I mean, there was a classy moment between the wrestlers where, you know, just the obligatory match ends. Burroughs goes over, shakes Bo Nichols' hand. Yeah. Like there was nothing there. I mean, I know right. Bo said he's not gonna. Sure. They're not going to be friendly, this and that. But there was that mutual respect there. But, yeah, the crowd, I will say, whoever the guy was who was yelling, I don't know if it was his wife or girlfriend, whoever was with him, then laid into him. And I was like, okay, so we're trying to restore some order around here.
Right. Eventually, were you able to catch up with Kale Sanderson just about in general about all this or not?
No, he was not available, and I think part of it is kind of reading tea leaves. I think Kale wants this to be about the wrestlers and not about him, and I think it's just very much like, yes, even though these are or were his guys, he still kind of doesn't want it to be about him, which I think is just his whole kind of persona. So, no, we did not hear from Kale. We did not hear from David Taylor. I mean, obviously, Taylor was pretty distraught, just kind of walked off. And that was that. So I am curious to see what Taylor's future is. You know, I think that then kind of becomes the big story here. But obviously for Aaron Brooks, now it's like, okay, he's got a few months to get ready for Paris. Obviously, Zane Rutherford first has to go and qualify the weight in Istanbul. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. And I think eventually, I hope we hear from Kale. But yeah, we did not hear from him this weekend.
And explain the Zane Rutherford qualification for everybody out there so they understand how it actually works for him.
Yeah, so you have six Olympic weight classes, which you have 10 in college. So the cut down from 10 to 6 is something that a lot of guys do not like. They voice concerns about it and kind of, hey, you know, why do you have to do it this way? But U.S., you have opportunities throughout the cycle to qualify your weight, meaning, like for Aaron Brooks, his example, the weight had been qualified through Worlds. So, like, he knew if he won, he was going to wrestle in Paris. Well, for Zane Rutherford, his weight class is one that has not been qualified yet.
Right.
So he then has to go to Istanbul May, I believe, 9 through 12, has to finish in the top three there. And if he finishes among the top three, then he actually gets to compete in Paris. Mm-hmm. So it's this weird distinction where you're an Olympic trials champion, but yet you may not wrestle in the Olympics if the weight isn't qualified. Same situation with Spencer Lee from Iowa. He also has to go to Istanbul to qualify the weight. So the thing with Rutherford's weight class as well is the U.S. did not qualify that weight in 2020 either. So that's kind of one of those, like, it's going to be an uphill climb for Zane. But he also spoke very much as it sounded like as if this was his last kind of shot at all of this as well, which was interesting.
Right. As somebody who's covered the Olympics, and you covered London in 2012, what's the experience like? And how did you have to dole out your time so you were able to get the best out of the experience?
It's crazy. I mean, it is like a caffeinated month where, you know, you're just kind of sprinting nonstop. And at the time, I just graduated from Penn State, and there were five of us that Penn State sent over there as a partnership with the USOC, the U.S. Olympic Committee. And so, I mean, every day, like, we were assigned specific beats, and wrestling was one of mine. So every day it was like you were going somewhere different. And then, it was like you just have to be well-versed, and you spend so much of the summer just prepping the different sports and, okay, what are the storylines for handball and what are the storylines for field hockey? And, you know, because everybody knows kind of the main storylines with swimming, with track and field. But when you start to get in the weeds on some of these other sports, it's like equestrian, rhythmic gymnastics. I had the triathlon. That was one of the ones that I was covering. So it is a lot, and you're just kind of going around the clock for a month. Like, you don't know what day of the week it is. It's kind of like one of those hectic football weeks, but just back to back to back to back. But it's the best. I mean, I would love to get the opportunity to cover another Olympics at some point in my career because it is just the high stakes of it, the drama, the emotion, there's nothing like it. But yeah, you do. I mean, I was able to sneak in some kind of sightseeing stuff, mm-hmm. but my sightseeing was going to other events, right? Like, people say, oh, how was London? You were there for a month. And I was like, yeah, I really didn't see anything. Like, I saw Buckingham Palace, but it was while watching beach volleyball that was happening next to it, you know? How was Hyde Park? Well, I was there for the triathlon, and that was cool, you know? So right. you experience a place, but not really, you know?
Oh, no, the people are like, so the Rose Bowl, am I going, yeah, we're at the hotel, we did eat, and we covered, and Jack and I did the game, and then I left.
Yeah, oh yeah, like I think people think that like we do all this like sightseeing and all, I mean, same thing, Steve, I'm already looking at flights for Penn State at USC next year, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how are we going to make this work?
Yeah, exactly, I mean, it's like, oh, hey, you went down, and you, I think it was what the I did the Disney Classic this year for basketball.
Okay.
I was there. I got there on a Tuesday night. Okay, Wednesday, but there was practice. Thanksgiving was the game. I had a flight right after the game. I got to Detroit, did the game in Detroit, flew back on Saturday, did the game on Sunday, flew back. I was like, Disney? What are you talking about? To me, the
Magic Kingdom. You weren't hanging out with Mickey and Minnie, Steve.
Oh, the mouse was at the game.
I mean, there you go.
Oh no, the mouse did the opening tip. And if you want to know why the mouse has a gigantic smile on its face all the time, because everybody is spending so much money, he is thrilled.
Except for you, because you didn't have any time to spend any money there.
I had no time to spend a dime. So the mouse wanted no part of me. Yeah, get out of here. You didn't spend any money here. Get out of here. Hey, Audrey. It's great coverage of the Olympic trials. Really appreciate the time, as always. It was terrific.
No problem. Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Audrey Snyder from The Athletic. Always great to have her on the show today. The Olympic trials was an interesting time here. And she's right. It did a lot for the town. I mean, the town was, you know, big event. Hotels filled up. Restaurants. It was really... It was terrific. Opening half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They want to make sure you're fully insured. And they want to save you money. Customer service. That is the name of the game at Purdy Insurance. You're not a number. You're a person they care about. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.